I'll lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. Behold, he that keepeth thee shall not slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. He shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a wonderful, that was my mother-in-law's favorite passage of scripture. I quoted it as she lay dying. Then I quoted it at her funeral service. I'm quoting it to you. I hope it's not dying or funeral, but here we are. I just talked to a man in the lobby. He grew up in this church until he was 16 years old. He left. He went the wrong way. After 50 years, he's back. Keep the porch light on. The prodigal is coming home. He's already home. Isn't it wonderful? Blesses my soul. Brother Lindsay, I appreciate your song. More love to him. I like this man's selection of songs, the old-fashioned hymns. I'm a little bit old-fashioned myself. So you'll just have to pardon my old-fashioned ways. Some of the expressions I make, some of you never heard them. You're too young. I used to say, I remember that 25 years ago, and now I say, I remember that 75 years ago. God is good, isn't he? Well, the green light is on and the runway is ready, so let's get airborne. What do you say? Open your Bible with me. And by the way, you know what happens when we open the Bible. It opens the mind of God. Let's see what God's thinking about in our lesson this morning from Psalm 24. And I hope you'll keep your Bible open. We'll be referring to those verses as well as some other things that we have for you today. I'm going to pray before we read Psalm 24. Our Father, how grateful we are today for your wonderful word. It brings us comfort and consolation. It brings us the truth, thy revelation of thyself and of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you today that we can gather around the Bible. We don't have to wonder whether or not it's true or infallible or inspired or inerrant. We know that it is. Every word we believe is God-breathed. And may we see it and feel it, not just look at it, but feel it in our hearts today. And may the Lord Jesus have the preeminence in it all. In his name I pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Now, Psalm 24 is one of the 16 messianic psalms, so called because they have specific references to the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, which means anointed one, anointed of God, our Savior. It is also a part of a trilogy of psalms. They all three go together, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. Looking at Psalm 22, we see the good shepherd. He is a good shepherd, ladies and gentlemen. And in that picture, we see Christ dying for us. The key word there is cross. He died on a cross. The shameful death of a cross. The cursed death. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. John 10:11 is a New Testament reference to this psalm. And it's spoken by Jesus himself, John 10:11. I'm quoting Jesus now. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd does what? Giveth his life for his sheep. By the way, Jesus said, no man taketh my life. I have power to lay it down. And I have power to take it up. And thank God he did lay it down. And thank God he did take it up at the resurrection morning. One of these days, he's going to take us up. Keep that in mind. Psalm 23 is probably more familiar to most of us. He's called the Great Shepherd. So in 22, the Good Shepherd with a cross. In Psalm 23, the Great Shepherd with a crook, because he is caring for us in Psalm 23. And the key word there is crook. The instrument that the shepherd used to protect his sheep, to take care of them, to drive off the predators. Hebrews 13:20. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. So we got the good shepherd, we got the great shepherd, and in 24, we have the chief shepherd. It's Christ coming for us. And the key word there is crown. So we have cross and crook and crown. 1 Peter 5:4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter, like Paul, had knowledge of those Olympic races. And they put a crown on their head of flowers that faded away in 2 or 3 days. But we're going to wear a crown that will never fade away. Wear a crown in the New Jerusalem. We shall wear a crown. Remember what Paul said in his dying testimony? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth. Now, he couldn't say henceforth until he said those other things. Finished, thought, kept. Henceforth, because I've done this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Question, do you love his appearing? Keep looking up. Jesus is coming soon. When's the last time you looked up and said, even so, Lord, Jesus, come. He's coming as the chief shepherd. 2 Timothy 4:8 is that verse on what Paul did, if you want to make a note of that. Now, I've entitled this lesson, Questions and Answers from Psalm 24. We're going to have 3 questions. If we have time, we'll have 3 answers, and hopefully we will. You know, one of the main things that I was taught when I was growing up in school is to ask questions. You're not going to learn much unless you ask questions to find out, what's this about? What does this verse say? All right. Question number 1, who owns this world Have you thought about that lately? Who owns this world? Well, for verses 1 and 2 that we read a while ago said, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God owns it all. And by the way, he wants to share it with us too. Paul quotes verse 1 of Psalm 24 in 1 Corinthians 10, 26, where he said exactly what the psalmist said, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. So we have an Old Testament truth sounded for us, and in the New Testament, the same thing. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 26, if you want to make a note of that. Now, God, how does God have the ownership of the earth, the world, and everything therein? It comes to him by virtue of creation. You see, man can make and manufacture and build and design, but man cannot create. The word create means to make something from nothing. And only God can do that. So he is, by virtue of creation, the owner. He made it. It belongs to him. And it will always belong to him. He's the architect, the designer, and the creator of all things. It all begins in the very first verse of the Bible. Have you read Genesis 1 lately? It would be good to read that chapter every day to get it straight. Look at verse 1, or listen to verse 1 in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you believe these four words, in the beginning, God, you'll have no problem believing all the 66 books of the Bible. It all starts with God. It continues with God. It shall end with God. We're looking at the beginning. In the beginning, God. These four words refute and repudiate atheism, evolutionism, humanism, communism, and all the other isms and wasms that have ever been, all repudiated in four words, in the beginning, God. Now, when was the beginning? It was a long time before when you and I lived, so don't worry about it. We don't know when it was. God has no beginning, but in the beginning, whenever that was, this is what he did. Created the heaven and the earth. Paul gives us a commentary in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, after he had by himself, did you get that? No help on it. By himself cleansed our sins, brought about reconciliation. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Then what did he do? He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Bring all the angels that have ever been created and get them name by name, by name by name, and they'll never have a name like Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And he's just the same as his lovely name. And that's the reason why I love him so. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Now, folks, don't ever ask God to repeat himself. If God says it once, that settles it for time and for eternity. Don't ask God for his ID, his credentials, his password, his passport. Every one of them is inscribed brightly and indelibly upon every page of human history. There it is. It's all out there for us. Isn't God a good God? The psalmist in Psalm 19 at verse 1 gives us some insight to it. He says, the heavens declare the glory of God. If we had nothing about that one sentence, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day, every day, we can see these things. Now, the best place to find them is to search the Word of God. How often do we just sort of carelessly, quickly, thoughtlessly read a verse or two of Scripture and say, well, I've done my part today. When are we going to start digging into the Scriptures? If you're looking for gold, you're not going to find it on the surface. This book is full of gold. And you got to dig and dig and dig and read and reread and reread to get the message that God wants you to have. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his hand to work. Day unto day, other is speech, and night unto night, knowledge. There's no language or voice where the voice is not heard. Job said in chapter 38 and verse 7, have you talked any little about Job lately? If you want to learn some things, read the book of Job. He said, when the morning stars sang together, did you know we have scientific equipment now that can pick up the songs from the stars? And what a choir would be with tens of millions times trillions and trillions of stars, all singing to the glory of God. Wow, we have a privilege to sing a little bit down here. Some of us can't carry a tune in a cigar box, but at least we try. Someone said the heavenly bodies are God's windsocks to remind us that the King is at home. He's always at home, ladies and gentlemen. I should remind you that God has not relinquished his ownership of the world. He still owns it. And he has not abdicated his throne. God is still on his throne. He will take care of his own. His promises are true. He will see you right through. For God is still on his throne. The poet wrote, they cannot shell his temple, nor dynamite his throne. They cannot bomb his city, nor rob him of his home. They cannot take him captive, nor strike him dumb, nor blind, nor starve him to surrender, or make him change his mind. They cannot cause him panic, nor cut off his supplies. They cannot take his kingdom, nor hurt him with their lies. Though all the world be shattered, his truth remains the same. His righteous laws still potent, and God is still his name. Though we face war and struggle and feel their goad and rod, we know above all confusion there will still be our God. Nothing's, all of these things that have happened worldwide in the last few weeks or days or months or years has not moved him one inch off of his throne. He's still there in the same place. Aren't you glad we've got a God like that? Isaiah gives us a word about it in his 66th chapter, verses 1 and 2. He quotes God as saying, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Wow, what a God we serve. God himself said in Psalm 50 and verse 10, every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. Someone said he also owns the hills. You know, God could just strike off the top of a hill and shoot up enough oil to last the rest of our lives and next generation and the next and next and next. He's got it all. And he wants to share it with us. Haggai chapter 2 in the Old Testament, verse Chapter 2 and verse 8 says, God speaking, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. Listen, God is the sole proprietor of everything. Everything, and you and I own a lend-lease program. And one day we'll give an account of how we used what God entrusted with us. Time and talent and energy and education and money and property, whatever it is, he's the sole proprietor. That brings me to question number two. Who will receive the blessings of the Lord? That's what the psalmist asked. We read it a while ago. Who will receive the blessings of the Lord? The answer is found in verses 3 through 5 of this 24th Psalm. Verse 4, for example, he that hath clean hands, he'll receive the blessings of the Lord. That's what the psalmist said. I remember growing up just as a little kid, we used to sing, I washed my hands this morning, so very clean and white, and lift them up to Jesus to work for him till night. Clean hands symbolize a clean body. And by the way, you know your body isn't your own. You know your body is the temple of God. The moment you got saved, God moved in. And your body has been a temple ever since. And Paul reminds us of it in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not? Know ye not that you're not your own? Know you not that you're filled with the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit came from God? And you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. And what a price he paid at Calvary. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everything belongs to God. If you're saved, you belong to God. You say, well, I got the title to my car. I know you got a title to it, but it belongs to God if you're saved. Well, I've got a title to my house. Just paid off the debt. It still belongs to God. Everything in your purse, everything in your billfold, everything in your body, everything in your house belongs to him. He also says in verse 4 that a person with a pure heart will receive the blessings of the Lord. Remember what Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 8? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The Bible says a lot about the heart. Jeremiah 17, 9, for example. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know it. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, all of these things come from within, Jesus said. In Matthew 15 and verse 18, Jesus spoke about the heart. He looked around at that crowd of hypocrites that were trying to trip him up, and he said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their heart and honor me with their lips, but their heart is, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Can I ask you a question? How close are you to God's heart today? How close is your heart to his heart? They should be intertwined. Also in verse 4, he who has a humble spirit will receive the blessings of the Lord. He put it this way, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You know what James 4, 6 says? God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You know what the wise man Solomon said in chapter 16, verse 18? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. He says also in verse 4, a truthful soul, a person who tells the truth, will receive the blessings of the Lord. Nor sworn deceitfully. That means he's talking the truth. He got a truthful soul. Proverbs 12:19. Listen carefully. The wise man said, the lips of truth are established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And by the way, John in the Revelation says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Wow. We better pay attention, folks. This is the word of God. This isn't the word of Raymond Barber. This is the word of God. I'm giving you the truth. I'm giving you his word. That brings me now to my third question. Question number 3, who will rule this world? Who is going to rule the world? Well, I tell you, the communists are not going to rule the world. The atheists are not going to rule the world. The humanists are not going to rule the world. The Muslims are not going to rule the world. They're out to try it, but they are not going to rule this world. Even the Antichrist, after his little 7 years of a place in the sun, he's not going to rule the world. Jesus is going to rule the world. In his 1,000-year reign, we call it the millennium because that means 1,000 years. He's going to rule. When he comes, first he's going to come for the rapture, as we know, and then the tribulation period of 7 years, and then the revelation glory when he comes to defeat his enemies, destroy the Antichrist, establish his kingdom of peace and prosperity, and rule for 1,000 years. And you know what the Bible says? Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests with God and with Christ and shall rule with him for 1,000 years. You better practice up a little bit, folks. Get in step. You're going to rule for 1,000 years. And then ultimately he delivers up the kingdom to the Father. In all eternity, Jesus will rule with his own glory and his own power. Revelation 11 and verse 15 says, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall rule forever and forever. Don't think he's going to miss out on anything. He's going to rule forever. May God help us to understand and appreciate these. Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail or mourn because of him. Jesus shall reign where he other son doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretched from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Behold, the islands with their kings, and Europe her finest tribute brings. From north to south, the princes meet to pay their homage at his feet. Wow, what a wonderful Savior. He's got it all. Remember that verse that says the earth is the Lord's, why we started out with it, verse 1, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in, therein. The hymn writer penned these words, this is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget, though wrong seems oh so strong, he is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died will be glorified and heaven and earth be one. You remember the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples to pray, and it's for us too. We call it the Lord's Prayer, but really the Lord's Prayer is in John 17. Intercessory, mediatorial, high priestly prayer. The prayer that he taught in the Gospels was for you and me, his early disciples, and for us. He included in that these three words, Thy kingdom come. And you know what? One of these days that prayer is going to be answered, because his kingdom is coming. Until Jesus occupies his throne of David in Jerusalem, you know what? Your heart and mine can be his throne. Dear Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live. O Christ, for thee alone. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful today for your precious and timeless word. We're thankful for the great promises and the great truths that are set forth in the scripture. Help us never to deny or look lightly upon or take for granted all these wonderful blessings, protection, provision, preservation, power, all that we have seen in the book, even just this morning. May we hide these things in our hearts. And may we always, but always, live for thee. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.